Well, good morning, folks.
Good morning.
It's good to see you in worship, especially on this Harvest Sunday. And Alison, I think I've got down here that George is doing the intimations, but George is actually in the control box, in control of everything. So Alison is going to take us through the intimations, and she'll be reading for us later.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And it's lovely to see everybody on such a nice, bright, sunny morning. Welcome to the service, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. And it's a busy day because we're celebrating harvest, and it's our annual gift day. And it's the month of the kids at church, so hello to all the kids that have come today. We would also want to inform you that we have a card reader now, and should you wish to make a donation today or in the future, please see George, because it goes through his phone, so thanks for that. And church walking group is on today, an outing this afternoon. It'll be around Limekilns, and we're meeting in Cairnhill car park at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Blythewood Care shoebox appeal. Please, if you've got a shoebox to fill, or you can donate items, or donations of money for transport, or even an empty shoebox is very helpful. We haven't got a date as yet for the collections, it's to be confirmed. And Church Cycling Club, the next cycle club outing will be to Queensferry, Port Edgar, on Saturday the 22nd of October. Finally, here's a quick look at the order of service. Thank you very much.
With this being harvest, of course, what we generally do is that we take the tin goods and dry goods up to the food bank, and we sell the fresh goods, because they can't go to the food bank, and the money's raised from that go obviously to food bank as well. It's our way of supporting others at a time of harvest. And also, I can confirm for you that the service for Moira Addison will be at Dunfermline Crematorium on Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you forget that, you can always give me a call and I'll remind you of place and time. We are here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our service by singing hymn number 230. Praise God for the harvest of orchard and field.
Praise God for the harvest that comes from afar.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your many good gifts. From your generosity to us, we present our offering to you. Bless all that we offer on this Harvest Sunday, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, it's harvest. How long do you think the world has had harvest Thanksgiving celebrations? Anybody like to make a guess? Any of the older boys and girls?
Forever.
That is a very good answer. Forever. I am guessing that from the very, very first human settlements, there would have been a harvest Thanksgiving. And even that probably wasn't the beginning, because I'm guessing that the Thanksgiving was probably based on what people did before that, when they were hunter-gatherers, for a celebration of the successful hunt or the successful gather. I think humanity has thanked God for the harvest forever. If I were to ask you, if, let's say I'm going to cook your tea, and just for the avoidance of doubt, I can cook. Because some people have gone, so you can cook, can you? And I can. So if I were to cook for you, what would your favourite be? What would you want me to make for your tea tonight, if it was me doing the cooking?
Pickled onions.
Oh. Oh, you wouldn't, Andrew, eh? Do you know, now this is my dad's fault. Most people can say this is my dad's fault, but my dad, we had never had tripe, and my dad put me off ever trying it, because he described it as a mouthful of large rubber bands that is both tasteless, inedible, and can't be swallowed.
Absolute rubbish.
Well, he's gone now, so I can't even say that. Okay, tripe and onions, right? Korma, yes. Now I could do you a good korma, and I like my Indian food, although I probably go a bit spicier than you. I like the spicy ones. What would your favourite be? Pizza? Yep. I'm not bad at a pizza. Lasagna? Yeah, and I love a lasagna. I've even grown to like vegetable lasagna. So I can go vegetarian as well as eating meat. Anybody else?
Macaroni cheese.
You see, now that rings a little bell, because in my household, if my girls are feeling a bit down, there is nothing like Mum's macaroni cheese. And I'm sure we've probably all got one of those.
Pavlova.
I wondered if somebody was going to go for the sweet. Yep. Good, healthy. Well, it's got fruit in it.
So light.
And plenty of cream. Yeah. I mean, I love food. And sometimes we've got to remember where it comes from. Now, it's easy if you live on a farm, because you do know where the food comes from.
Do they make pavlova?
Do you not grow pavlova? Is there no pavlova trees in your food? Right. Now, many, many years in the past, and it was a young man from Bankhead Farm who stuck his hand up and told us authoritatively that they grew bananas. Still remember that one. Much to everybody's hilarity and his family going, yeah. I thought today I would wear something that would connect me to the land. Can you guess what it is?
Get your well.
I've not got my wellies on, no. Just a pair of brogues.
Where does the leather
come from? Well, yes, I mean, yeah, that would come from a cow, but that's not my real connection.
You've got someone off the foot.
Ah, well spotted. This was my great uncle's. And on the back of this one, it says NQC 1926. Now, what does that stand for? I thought, look at the thermometer. NQC. It was a big thing in the middle of last century, and a lot of the farming community were involved. And my mum, who used to go and see her Uncle Bob, because it was my great uncle, it's his folks, and he got that in 1926. And my mum used to occasionally carry his bag, and it was a huge weight. So you don't play quoits then? Quoits. Interestingly, I came across, I was in a country park, and one of the things they had was quoits. And it's oversized horseshoes and a steel post, and it's who can get the quite right. Well, if you get it round the post, that's the real thing to do. But my uncle was a ploughman, and I didn't know him as a real ploughman. I knew him as a tractorman, but my mum remembers him when he had horses, and that is one of my connections, and it is a good connection because it reminds me, and just wearing these reminds me of the farming community and reminds me where my food comes from, because it's so easy to dash into the supermarket and think that's where you get food, and it's good for us to remember. And I'm actually glad that you mentioned so many foreign foods, because we depend on food from all over the world. In any week, we'll have food from a number of places, I would guess. And that will be local. I still can't see past a good plate of mince and tatties with some cabbage. But I also enjoy a good curry. I do like a pizza. And so on and so forth. So we have this big world that we live in, and God has given us a lot that is good. And so today in this service, we celebrate what's grown local, and we should look at the fields as we pass by and make sure that the farmers are working and that kind of thing. But we should also give thanks for farmers abroad. But it also reminds us that we do have a care for the earth, and that's going to form part of my talk later, is where our responsibility lies. So we really do need to give thanks for God's goodness in the people that serve us by producing, growing, preparing, and everything that's done to get food on our plate. But also remember that we absolutely depend upon God's creation. We're going to sing, and I've forgotten what we're going to sing. Who put the colours in the rainbow? So remembering the wonder of God's creation. That's hymn 143.
Thank you.
Next reading is Luke 8, verses 4 to 15, the parable of the sower. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants had withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, you may not see, though hearing, you may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving, produce a crop. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his holy word.
Hymn number 229, "We Plough the Fields and Scatter."
Jesus.
50 years ago this year, in the town where I grew up, Cooper's Fine Fair moved to a new building. This was the big supermarket. And if I remember correctly, the old building had three aisles. The big new building had five. The shop included a greengrocer counter and a meat counter. And this was the year I began work as a part-time shelf packer, a slightly unhygienic teenager in a brown overall. If you can remember back to the colour scheme of Fine Fair. Like many town centres of that time, Galashiels had lots of shops, and most people had a relationship with shopkeepers. The grocer, the greengrocer, the baker, the butcher, they all knew their customers and what they were looking for. My mother had particular shops she went to, and she knew if it wasn't right, she would go in the next week and she would explain why it wasn't right, and there would no doubt be a discount of some kind, because it was a world where shopkeeper and customer had a real relationship, a dependent relationship. Though I did not know it, I suppose I was part of the process that would see supermarkets take over. As part of this process, our buying moved from person to presentation. A move from buying from shopkeeper to buying from a shelf. Pre-packed uniformity became the order of the day. As a result, we saw product instead of produce. In our urban society, the last links with land and harvest were weakened, and a rise in imported foods also took away our connection with the seasons. Even in these villages that I serve, when I ask children where food comes from, there are always going to be those children who say, quite honestly, the supermarket, usually of one brand or another. And we can smile at the innocence of children. But maybe what was a little bit more worrying is that at the beginning of lockdown in 2020, at a time when only children of key workers were able to attend school in person, initially, farmers were not listed as key workers. So, yeah, it was expected that James had plenty of time to look after children as well as the farm. It said something about our society, and although it was corrected quickly, it was an indicator of our thinking. But this has implications far beyond farming and our connection to the harvest. It's also an indicator of how our society regards the planet. As a society, we have become those who concentrate upon what is urgent and forget what is important. In working life, this is a method of going from crisis to crisis rather than planning for the future. In the current financial crisis, driven to a great extent by the cost of energy, this is taking up the attention of our society. Longer-term issues, like global warming and climate change, have taken a back seat. We will have heard a kind of growing acceptance that we're going to have to make more use of fossil fuels in the short term until we have better renewables available. The crisis is there, and our thoughts are not the big picture, rather they are the crisis affecting us. The actions of the Russian state have created problems in terms of both energy supply and things like food supply. The war in Ukraine is affecting nations far beyond the borders of Russia and Ukraine. There is no doubt that we are facing problems that will cause real hardship to many people in many countries, including our own. There is no avoiding the need to deal with this. But we must not forget what is important in the midst of what is urgent. Jesus' parable of the sower and the seed is often used as a harvest Thanksgiving reading. There is the obvious connection with the work of the farmer, but it also has much to say about our listening to what is the word of God. If we change slightly the first reading that we had from the Psalms, it would seem that we are living in a society, in a world that says the earth is humanity's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, rather than the earth is the Lord's. In that psalm we are also told that to be right with God we need to have clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, what we think and do is part of our worship of God. What we think and do about creation is to do with our relationship with God. When we did not know the extent of humanity's impact upon creation, we still had a duty to care for creation. But now that we are aware of the impact of humanity, we have an even greater duty. So what about that parable of Jesus? How does it fit into this? Are we those who hear the words, but actually it's like it lands on the path and the birds of the air take it? The seed is just snatched away. It's an item on the news, but we're waiting for the programme after. We can hear the words and think, yes, this is important, but as soon as there are difficulties, we give up. There's no root there. We can hear the words, but the cares and worries of everyday life are more urgent. We have good intentions, but they quickly fade as other things choke out what is there. It is the urgent problem of now, rather than the bigger picture that we think about. Or we can hear the words and know how important they are. And yes, there are urgent things at the moment, but we still act with care and consideration, and we remember God's creation in everything that we do. One of the slogans that was used a number of years ago about how we should behave is that we should think global and act local. And of course, there are lots of things that we can simply do. In general, when we think about the world, farmers do look after the land. It's where the farming community lives and works. There is a real incentive for the farmer to care for creation. And the farmer is probably better than most of us in what they do. Sometimes we look for the person to blame or the organisation, and the supermarkets, the big supermarkets, have taken a lot of flack. And it is true that a great deal of power lies with the major supermarkets. They do have a huge psychology of getting us to buy what they want us to buy, and they have a significant power over what the farmer does. And if you want to know, there's a man to ask. But we must never forget that in a consumer society, the consumer has great power, and that means great responsibility. What I do when I go into the supermarket has an effect. It affects what the supermarket does and in turn what is expected of the farmer and the food industry. I carry responsibility for the harvest and for creation. Now, the natural pessimist in me fears that, in terms of Jesus' parable, there's too much hard ground, there's too much shallow ground, and there's too many weeds. Too much of the path, shallow soil and thorns. I fear that I am hard or shallow or thorny. And I suspect that what I think of me is not unique to me. I think we all have a bit of that in us. What Jesus is working in us is a harvest from seed that falls on good soil. In God's field, us. Jesus is working for a harvest of righteousness. God wants us to rejoice, and as his people, God wants us to rejoice in harvest and share that joy. Today, we should rejoice in God's good earth. Today, we should rejoice in the bounty of the earth. Today, we should give thanks for the farmer and all involved in the harvest that we enjoy, all of this that we've got here in front of us as illustration. And give thanks because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And that also gives us our responsibility. One of the earliest questions asked by humanity of God, and it's the Cain and Abel story, where Cain says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And of course, it is a rhetorical question in the story, not from the character, but in the story, we're meant to go, "Yes, of course we are. Of course I am my brother's keeper." And so, as we have opportunity, we live out our faith in how we respect and treat and behave. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Those with a pure heart and clean hands. And there from Galatians, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Amen. And now our prayers for others. Let us pray. Almighty God, on this Harvest Sunday, we think of a world in need of care and prayer. In our celebration, we remember a responsibility, the responsibility that you have given to use your gifts wisely. We look beyond our own nation to those parts of our world where there will either be a poor harvest or no harvest at all. We think of those who struggle with the effects of climate change, those who know the effects of natural disaster. In this year of storm and flood, and of drought and fire, we remember those who are struggling to cope. We also remember the problems created by humanity. In some places, conflict means that fields are untended. And if we need a reminder, the war in Ukraine has reminded us of how interdependent we are. That the harvest in that nation is needed for the feeding of people in Africa and beyond. We confess that we live in a world of great inequality. That too many people go hungry and lack the basic necessities of life. And we know that that is because it is an unequal world. And in that we know that we, as one of the wealthy nations, have responsibility. Almighty God, on this Harvest Sunday, we pray for justice and peace in our world. We long for a better and fairer world for all. As we pray for other nations, we remember how much we depend upon what they produce. And so we give thanks for the provision that comes from harvest in foreign places. But we also remember our own nation and our dependence upon the people in this land for our daily bread. We seek your blessing upon those who tend the fields and fish the seas. We think of the many who work in the food industry. Remind us, we pray, of the many people upon whom we depend day by day. We give thanks and seek your blessing upon all who are involved in growing, preparing, transporting and selling the food that we buy. We think too of the many harvest services at this time of year, reminding us as your people of the value of the work of others, reminding us of the beauty and bounty of the earth, reminding us that we too are part of that. And in our service of others, there is a harvest too. Hear us now, as we take a moment of quiet to offer our private and personal prayer. We open our hearts and minds to you. Accept the prayers we offer, for we ask this in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now our closing praise, hymn number 233, Come You Thankful People Come. now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.